It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
Thank you for joining me here. Another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. What a treat we have in store for you tonight. But first, with the opening notes. Thank you for joining me here, 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area, and worldwide at mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and of course on the 77 WABC app. Thank you again, New York. We are in the top 10 in New York AM radio, according to Nielsen. The Nielsen ratings have us there, and we thank you for listening week in and week out and understanding the level of guests that we work so hard to provide you with and to entertain you as well, but of course to give you a tremendous resource of business knowledge week in and week out. Well, as you know, every single week we interview C-level executives and ask them the questions that are in your mind. Gain insights into so many professions and categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, communications, financial planning, marketing and advertising, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition, where you certainly will gain a very, very wide range of business expertise, communication. Oh, man, I can't wait to introduce it. But just still before I open, some quick thank yous. A special thank you to the entire team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group who plays such an important support role. Cirilli, Eliana, Hoodie, Miriam, Dina, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, Justin, thank you. And a shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. We're on C-Suite TV, C-Suite Radio, Audio Boom, Player.fm, iTunes, YouTube. We have a robust YouTube channel. Tonight's episode will be up on the YouTube channel. And you can access every single show we've had at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. There you can pick up the interview I had with Dick Schulz, founder and chairman emeritus of Best Buy, Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, and the list goes on and on. We're actually wrapping up this 2018. This would be 3.5 years of doing the show. An amazing run, and we're looking forward to being here for a long time to come. Let's jump to tonight's very, very special show. Well, with me in studio is none other than James Rosebush. Yes, he wrote the bestseller True Reagan. He was a senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan, of course, was the chief of staff to Nancy Reagan. Am I correct about that?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a really, really special moment. But I'm actually going to share the mic with a very close friend of mine, Isaac Wachschild, chief correspondent for Zman Magazine. Many in the audience are familiar. If not, it's at newsstands nationwide. This is really, really, really special because James is someone who is well-recognized out there in the world, certainly a master of communication, and learned it from the best, President Ronald Reagan. Well, with that, I'm going to hand it over to Isaac and join us for a very, very entertaining, informative hour here on Mind Your Business.
Well, thank you very much, Yitzhak, for inviting me to co-host this show with you. I've known you for a long time, and I'm humble and honored, especially when we have such an exciting guest as Mr. Rosebush here in the studio. I have to say, James, that as someone who has read many books on Ronald Reagan, the book that you wrote, True Reagan, not only provides a ton of new information that is not known otherwise, because you were right there. You were a senior advisor to Ronald Reagan and also chief of staff to First Lady Nancy Reagan. But the book is also written very well, and it's just a pleasure to read.
Thank you very much.
And in that book, we learn so much that we would not have known otherwise. For instance, you point out the religious part of Ronald Reagan and how much he mentioned God. And you said when he said, God bless you, you believed him, that he really wanted God to bless America. My question to you is, do you think that that affected him in policy making, in his relationship with Israel and other places around the world, if his religious belief was part of his mind when he was making decisions like that?
Absolutely permeated everything that Reagan did. His favorite hymn indicates to me exactly how he thought about his God and his dependence upon God and his integration of his communication with God in everything that he did. And that was summed up in the last refrain of that hymn, which says, "And he'll walk with me, and he'll talk with me, and he'll tell me I am his own." That was the walk that Reagan had with his God, and that was how important it was to him. But he kept it very close. He didn't talk about it publicly. He didn't disclose it to the media. He didn't share it with a lot of people. But I was in certain circumstances where I could ask him more about what this faith meant to him. And then I began to see how he employed his faith in policy decisions. And of course, a big one is his work with Pope John Paul II, in helping to bring down the wall and end the Cold War.
Now, you were actually inside Ronald Reagan's bedroom, and you saw a Bible there.
Yes.
And you asked him if he reads it. What did he say to you?
Well, you know, you see Bibles everywhere.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're big, beautiful, leather-bound, gold-tooled Bibles that people never take off the shelf. So I saw this Bible on his bedstand, on his nightstand next to his bed. And I said, "Oh, Mr. President, I see the Bible there. You know, do you actually read it?" And he said, "Oh, yes." And not only did he say yes, he took me over to the Bible, opened it, and he read and then recited some of his favorite Bible passages to me. Now, this points out how critically important it is for people who work directly with someone as influential, a world leader, the leader of the free world, to be able to tell these stories. Because today, we have people writing books about Ronald Reagan who didn't actually experience or see or were not involved in these things. So getting the texture, for example, you look at someone as important as Abraham Lincoln. So Lincoln never disclosed anything about what was going on in his own mind, heart, or soul. Today, books written about Lincoln can only conjecture about their character. Reagan, like Lincoln, was very circumspect about his internal workings, his faith, his belief systems, and how he was blending them with the decisions he had to make every day in terms of policy and politics. But he didn't disclose it either. So it's so important that people who actually had this experience with him, that they tell these stories for future generations. So a book like mine is not just written for the audience today. It's written for future historians and students of character-based leadership to say, what are the ingredients that make a leader of character? Because we need to train our future leaders to have character.
Yeah, I have to say that as someone like you who was so close to the Reagans, reading your book gives a whole bunch of new quotes on President Reagan that you would not have known otherwise. For instance, what we just discussed on the Bible question, you quote him as saying, "Oh yes, and sometimes I read it in the middle of the night." Those kind of quotes, it's all over your book, and so yeah, I enjoyed that very much. I want to ask you something that is in the news right now. You being the chief of staff of Nancy Reagan, and also working as a senior advisor for President Reagan. Melania Trump is in the news right now, the First Lady of the United States, as having asked the president to fire a deputy in the National Security Office. What's your take on that? Did it ever happen in the White House during the Reagans? How did President Reagan respond to that? Is it appropriate? Does it happen? And I'm just curious to see if you could elaborate on that.
Oh, I think this is fascinating that this happened. So, and there's a lot of intrigue about this. So, of course, the job of being First Lady, the first book I brought out was called First Lady Public Wife, which is an earlier book of mine. But this explains how tricky this job is. So, generally, I mean, these women come to the White House with their own thoughts, ideas, intelligence, their experience, their worldliness. And, of course, the First Lady has, as they call, the first word in the morning and the last word at night with the president. And you can be sure that all first ladies are sharing their viewpoints with the president, whether he takes them or not is some other matter. But it's a tricky position to be in. And Nancy Reagan did the same thing. She offered her opinions not only to the president, but to the president's staff. But she largely kept her personal viewpoints completely separate and sequestered from the media. So for Melania Trump to come out and to make a public statement about a federal employee is highly unusual. The first lady is a job, it's a thankless job, but it's you're not elected for this job, and you're not a government official. So for her to make a statement about this, she's making a statement as a private citizen, albeit in a very important position of influence, as you can see, enough influence to actually move this person out of her White House job. But to make a public statement like this is highly unusual. And even though you'd have to go back to Eleanor Roosevelt to find a first lady who was using the media in a way to make public policy pronouncements, which Eleanor Roosevelt did. Successive first ladies really stayed away from that. They skirted that issue because there is no such, in the U.S. Constitution, there's no mention of a job of first lady.
I want to ask you, we're going to be talking a lot about communication today because you work for the great communicator. And so you learn from the best. And the way I understand it, you have a program now, impactspeakercoach.com. We're going to get into that. But I want to talk about, before we get into the larger part of communication, I want to talk about the little things that you've noticed in from President Reagan. I once read a book by the host there, by my good friend Yitzhak, What's the Bottom Line? Great book. And right on the top of the book, he talks about the power of a thank you. And just to say thank you for someone, you did a good job. Just like that, a quick note, a quick email, a quick text, how much that advances communication. I've seen in, I've read in your book, all over the place where Ronald Reagan would do such things of like just giving little compliments, I noticed. And one of the things, one of the stories you have there is about him sending you a thank you note on some ties that you bought him. Can you share with the audience some of these anecdotes with Ronald Reagan's experience of these little thank yous?
Well, isn't it true that the thank you note, the gesture, whether it's written or it's an email or a text, is almost disappearing from business culture and political culture, which is, I think, it's a very unfortunate development. But you see, in the position of president, it really reflects on not just the person's ability to write a note, but it reflects on their character, which is what we're really interested in. I mean, there's a big part of what we're talking about today, the ability to communicate. So we had in our home, we had a red phone, which is a secure line into our house, which we'd always say to the babysitters when they came over to take care of our kids, now don't touch that phone, don't call your friends on that phone, but which was a little joke we'd like to play on them. But I remember the red phone ringing. It was usually Nancy Reagan calling, but I remember it on rare occasions where the president would call me, and he might be asking me my view on something, he might be asking me to do something, but he might also call just to say thank you. Now, one of the things that Ronald Reagan was known for is writing in his own kind of homely handwriting notes to people to thank them. Or he might – I have several copies of speeches in which maybe he was making a reference in one speech to a program that I was responsible for. And he'd write a note on – I have one that says, tell Jim Rosebush how much I like this. And – you know, that makes your heart skip a beat when you get something for the President of the United States saying, okay, it's a great pat on the back to say, good job. I think anyone feels that way, whether you're getting it from a boss or whether you're getting it from another person that you respect or even from your child or your grandchild. I think that it's important, obviously, to be able to say that. But when you get it from the President of the United States, you feel, you know, there's something – a special unction that goes along with that. So Reagan was known for that. And also, I would say, linked to his charity, So Ronald Reagan was a small giver. He would read news accounts of people who were suffering, and he would write out in his own hand, on his own checkbook, checks to these people. Then he would get a plain envelope, write in his own hand their address, put a stamp on it, and ask his secretary to go. Now, this is the White House we're talking about, but ask his secretary to take them to a mail drop box because, and this is what he said, he didn't want the people who were receiving his charity to feel that they needed charity. He wanted to do it very quietly. And one time he called a person in New Jersey who was in need, and he said it took six tries to get through to him because the guy who was answering the phone couldn't believe that it was really the President of the United States calling him. So there's some funny aspects to this, but this was a part of the character of the man. He was always reaching out, but quietly to help other people. And many times those personal notes were incredibly important. And you know that story we were talking about earlier about the note that he wrote to my daughter, who had drawn a picture for him when he was going into surgery, played an important part of the world understanding Ronald Reagan better. So she had drawn this rainbow picture.
I do want to get back to the story. It's a fascinating story when Ronald Reagan went into before surgery, and right before he got into the operating room, you were there with him, and you took out from your pocket a little picture drawn from your daughter, and that made headlines on all the newspapers, that story. I'm fascinated to hear about that. That all comes down to what we're talking about today, and we will come back right after the break and hear that story.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Okay, so you're considering a comprehensive medical exam, but you haven't decided where. At Elytra Health in New York City, we know you have a tight schedule and that you only want the best. We also know you have choices to consider. Well, consider that you could have a world-class executive longevity exam at Elytra's state-of-the-art Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity, right in downtown New York City. Think about the fact that the experts at Elytra Health are a hand-selected staff with more than 30 years of experience in executive exams and concierge medicine, and that top doctors in the area refer their patients to Elytra. Something else to weigh is that cardiac imaging, cancer screening, labs, and all other testing is completed in a single five-hour visit with white-glove service. Plus, you'll receive the results, advice, and follow-up coordination before you leave. Finally, consider how easy it is to get peace of mind from an Elytra exam now by visiting ElytraHealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A Health.com. Elytra Health. Well, above all.
And we're back. I'm with Mr. James Rosebush, former Chief of Staff of First Lady Nancy Reagan and Senior Advisor to President Ronald Reagan. I'm Isaac Waxhaw, Chief Correspondent of Zman Magazine. And right before the break, we were going to get into a story of how Ronald Reagan wrote a little note from his gurney into a surgery to James' daughter. Tell us that story.
This is really an interesting I think, penetrating insight into President Reagan. So he was going into surgery. We were at Bethesda Naval Hospital. And my daughter had written him a love letter. She was 5 years old, and she painted a little picture with crayons. And then she said, "Mr. President, get well soon. I love you." And then she signed her name. And so I showed her the present just before he was to go into surgery, and the doctors were very impatient with me. And, you know, we got to get going. But he said, no, wait a minute. He told the doctors to stop. And he said, Jim, would you hand me a picture of my personal a piece of my personal stationery, which, and remember this, the President of the United States has his own stationery. It's sort of a light green color with a gold embossed presidential seal on it. No one else can use that. And so I pulled that out, and he wrote this handwritten note to my daughter and thanked her for her drawing and then said, I love you too. So he said, here, will you give this to your daughter? So I put it in my pocket together with the picture that she had drawn for him and walked down the hall with him. And then I turned and I went through two double swinging doors. I thought I was just going to go out, get a car and go home. And little did I know, I walked into a room filled with probably 2,200 media, television cameras, radio, print media, and they were all craving some information about the president's condition, his state of mind, what was going to happen, all that sort of thing. And before, I always deferred everything to the press secretary. That's just the way I operated. But here, this was an epiphany for me. I had, and it relates precisely to people's ability to communicate, I had information that they needed. Now, if you're a public speaker, you have to approach it from this standpoint. You've got information that people need. Now, what is it? So I stood there for a half a second. You had go very fast because the cameras were rolling, and they said, well, you know, what was the president's state of mind? And I thought, I'm going to reach in my pocket, pull out both what my daughter drew and what he wrote. Now, this played on the front page of every major newspaper in the world, describing, here's President Reagan's being wheeled into surgery, but this is what he took the time to do. Now, this, what was the point of this? It wasn't anything to do with my daughter. It was two things. It was me gaining confidence that I had a message and I had content to deliver. Secondly, it was illustrating the character of the man, Ronald Reagan. You know, because he was so bound up, he never talked about his character. But here was a way to illustrate who he really was.
Now, speaking about President Reagan's character, there are some personal things about Ronald Reagan that that you know that no one else does, and you're going to tell us why. And that also happened during that hospital stay when President Reagan realized that he didn't pack along an outfit to go back to the White House. And then he sent you to get some outfits for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you thought you were going to have to choose. What happened?
Right, Isaac, this is really interesting because typically, now he thought this was going to be, he'd be in and out in a day, so he wouldn't be spending the night there. And there might be a steward or someone from the White House to have packed his clothes. But he said to me, you know, we're going to stay in overnight. Jim, would you mind going back to the White House and getting me a change of clothes? And I was like, well, of course, I would do anything for the President of the United States. So I went out and got a car from the White House, motor pool, went back to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, went upstairs to the family quarters and went into his dressing room, a closet there, and opened the door to the closet. And that's what caught me by surprise. And I have to say, I stood there for a good couple of minutes before I made my selections. And this is why, Isaac. Ronald Reagan was thought of and portrayed as a rich man. He was a success in Hollywood. He was governor of California, and his friends were rich and rich. That was a lot of the label that was put on Ronald Reagan. So I'm looking in his closet, right? Here's one blue suit, one black suit, one brown plaid suit, by the way, which was always reviled by the White House staff. They'd say, oh, he's wearing that brown plaid suit. You might remember that. Didn't photograph very well. But anyway, very well-tailored, but just one suit of each color, one pair of shoes in each color, and no fancy labels. As I say, nicely tailored, nice things, but not a lot of it, and nothing extravagant. And I thought to myself, this is exactly who this man is. In addition to telling that story about the hymn that he sang to me about his walk, here's another insight into this man. He was a person who he respected quality, but he wasn't dependent for defining his character and his individuality based on luxury.
And you've learned from that and from a lot of other experiences with Ronald Reagan of who the man was and how he communicated. And he once actually gave you specific advice of how to communicate with the media. He said to you, be a whale, not a fawn. Can you elaborate why he said that to you, what he meant by it, and what you've learned from that lesson?
Well, of course, I learned a million lessons from both the Reagans. And this idea of being a well and not a fount is meant be a well of information if you're called upon to provide it, but don't spout it unless you're asked for it. And this has to do specifically in interviews with the media. And he felt that if he could be a resource but not provide more than what the person is asking for, that that would be a very intelligent approach. And I think, again, this really relates to communication. I think another lesson related to this I learned from Nancy Reagan the hard way. I said, I'm going to put you up in the family quarters kitchen. I'm going to put an apron on you, and I'm going to bring the press corps up here to take a photograph of you cooking. And she laughed and she ridiculed me. And I said, why are you doing that? We are absolutely going to do that because I want people to see the human side of you. And she said, absolutely not. We're not doing that at all. We had a fight about it. And she said to me, I said, why aren't you willing to do this? I know this is going to work. And she says, it's not going to work. And you know why? And I said, no. And she said, because I never cooked a meal in my life. And so she knew something that I didn't know, but I learned from her. And that is your communication has to be authentic.
And I believe that at the end you decided to just get a dog for the family.
We got a dog, right? Dogs are really useful. Why do you think so many presidents have dogs? I don't think that they necessarily like dogs, but having – particularly if you don't have children around the White House – again, people, I have a lot of respect for people who have to write, journalists who have to write about a president and the president's family. They have to have things to write about. And, especially today, 24/7 media, you have to have something to write about. And a dog can give you, some texture.
I find it fascinating, all these personal experiences they had in the White House. And I do want to get back to that. But before, I want to break a little bit and talk about what you're doing now. And with ImpactSpeakerCoach.com. What is that program and how do you utilize all these experiences to benefit others?
Well, a division of my company growth strategy is ImpactSpeakerCoach.com. And the reason that I feel a calling to do this is, first of all, I was brought up by a father who was a teacher of Dale Carnegie, and we were his students. And as kids, we were trained in the Dale Carnegie method of communication. And boy, I'll tell you, our dad was a strict disciplinarian when it came to how we communicated. And we learned from him. We had to go to his classes. Later, I had other training. And then going into work for the great communicator, I had to figure out, because I came to the White House, I didn't come from Hollywood, I didn't come from California. I came out of business and philanthropy. But I'm looking at this, the president and first lady, and I'm trying to figure out why they're so good at their job and what was really inside. And I knew that effective communication really comes from what's inside of you, and especially in the case of Ronald Reagan. So through the years, I've developed this coaching technique, which has 10 elements to it, 10 keys to how to be an impact speaker. And I coach CEOs, I coach salespeople, managers. Sometimes an entire company will retain me to coach all levels of personnel in their company. But the point is how you have impact by what you say. And I've had so many people say to me, Isaac, this has changed my life. And I thought to myself, why do they say that? Why do they feel changed? You know why? Because if you develop the confidence to communicate, it gives you a whole new look at how you value yourself.
Why are people so fearful of speaking in public?
People are, Margaret Thatcher said to me, she said, Jim, you know, every time I get up on stage, and here she was speaking to millions of people. She was the Iron Lady. Everyone thought she had no vulnerabilities at all. She said, every time I get up on stage, my knees are shaking and I have to say to myself, okay, old gal, you can do it. And, you know, whatever you have to say to give yourself confidence. But here's, you know, what are the leaders of the world standing up and admitting her vulnerability to this? I think that the greatest fear, and what the first thing we work on in Impact Speaker Coach is getting rid of fear. But the fear is being judged. If you're, you know, this can be even speaking on a telephone, making a sales call, or speaking in front of an audience of thousands and thousands of people, you're afraid that you're going to be judged. And that causes sometimes you to go blank. You don't know what you're going to say next. You're not following a train of thought. And I think it has to do with a fear of being judged by others. But I'll tell you, I've put people up in front of an audience who lack any kind of professional training, but they have one thing. They've got an authentic story to tell. And the story does the talking.
And that is absolutely Ronald Reagan-esque, to tell stories and communicate via telling stories. We got to go to a break, but when we come back, I want to ask you about other forms of communication. For instance, it was a famous controversy that we had with our First Lady, Melania Trump. She wore a jacket that said, I don't care, or something like that. And as a chief of staff of former First Lady Nancy Reagan, I'm going to ask James to comment on that. Was that appropriate to wear? And whose fault is it that the First Lady, Melania Trump, wore a jacket that says, I don't care, when she's on her way to visit children who are held by the border? Right after this.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today. Or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
And we're back with James Rosebush, Chief of Staff to Nancy Reagan and Senior Advisor to President Ronald Reagan, working in the East and in the West of the White House. So right before the break, we were promising the audience to ask James his take on Melania Trump's jacket that says, I don't care. As a Chief of Staff to a First Lady, what do you make of all that?
Complete failure of the staff to explain to her something that might be an embarrassment. Now, I don't know the background of this, and I have tremendous respect for Melania Trump, very smart woman. But I would have to say, on the face of it, it looks as if the staff failed to tell her that that could be controversial or wouldn't necessarily represent her well. So wherever we traveled in the world, and we traveled a lot, I would always ask Are there any colors a First Lady shouldn't wear? Are there any things a First Lady shouldn't do to offend local culture? Now, this was, of course, in America, but we should be sensitive to communities, what's going on in the communities. We should know what issues are there that a First Lady might either offend or might have the potential to support. So, for example, when we went to Spain, I thought, what could Nancy Reagan do that would show interest to the people of Spain? And one of the things we did, again, this picture played on the front page of every newspaper in the world. I took Nancy Reagan to a flamenco dancing school, not to just to see flamenco dancing, but I thought, let's go to a school. So here's Nancy Reagan up on stage, and she's dancing a flamenco with students. And this showed that we were interested in the culture of the country, and also in education.
Now, this is all communication.
It's all communication. You're absolutely right, Isaac.
And there's all different styles of communication. And speaking about the Trumps, let's talk a little bit about comparing our current president, Donald Trump, and Ronald Reagan, who is deemed a great communicator. How do you see President Trump's form of communication, and do you think it's effective?
Trump and Reagan share one of the important pillars of communication, and that is they both felt that and feel that if they could have unfettered access to the American people, they could convince them of anything. And the evidence of that in Reagan's communication is that he started the first Saturday radio broadcast that the White House had ever done, which continues today. So the president felt that if he could just get his message across without interruptions, because at that time, you know, presidents gave massive press conferences all the time, and it's kind of trailed off in the past couple of administrations. But this puts the president in a very vulnerable position, and Reagan used to train for 48 hours leading up to that. So Reagan felt if he could just reach the American people without getting his words either translated or edited by the media, that he could convince him of anything. So the radio address.
I think you mentioned in your book that Ronald Reagan has had the most Oval Office addresses.
The second after Nixon, yes. So if he loved going in the Oval Office, communicating directly with the American people. That last one he did from the Oval Office where he said, I don't think I've ever defined for you. And he really brought the audience in. What I meant when I saw the shining city on a hill, where he used these devices to give you confidence. As you mentioned earlier, when he said, God bless America, he was really thinking that, which is another key element of effective communication. It's not just speaking it, but it's thinking it, because actually 64% of all communication is nonverbal. So when you walk out on a stage, people are going to determine right away whether or not they're going to listen to you or not. So Reagan had this. So when he shares with Trump.
So Trump is doing that via Twitter.
So both of these gentlemen are saying, I have to reach the American people without, because remember, and people forget this, our administration was reviled. We had protests everywhere we went. We had one time I was in London. I was taking Nancy Reagan to the children's zoo with a bunch of kids, and protesters had obtained a license to protest and throw bottles of blood on us. So in some respects, protests are actually not as violent as they were at that time. So he had as many more protests, I think, even than Trump. But on communication, their premise is they want the American people to get their message. Now, what Trump is using today with Twitter was, you could say, Reagan used with the radio address, or we would say in the White House, geez, we're having a bad day here. Let's go out to Andrews Air Force Base, get on Air Force One, and go out anywhere in the country and give a speech. So if you were any place but the East Coast or the West Coast, especially Ronald Reagan was so beloved by many people in the middle of the country, go out and talk to them. Trump is doing the exact same thing. So you see there are patterns of similarity. Their characters, they obviously were developed in different ways, but their devices or their I think, objectives of communication are quite similar.
And so you find that President Trump's communication is effective, and as uncomfortable it could be at times, you do find it to be effective, though, because he's speaking direct to the American people.
Well, if his objective is to call out the media, which he's usually doing, using his Twitter account, then I think you'd have to, by any measure, say that it's effective, at least in pointing out to a broad base of people that are reading or listening to his tweets that how he feels precisely about the media. And so you'd have to say that probably a broad swath of the American people agree with him, because if you see public polls about public institutions, including the media, it's reflected in that.
Now, as far as policy, you point out 10 rules, or I don't remember exactly how you termed them, of President Reagan's philosophy. And you speak about how America must be the strongest country and rule through strength and things like that. In terms of policy, do you see similarities between President Trump and President Reagan, specifically on foreign policy, on how President Trump is now quarreling with NATO and you know, on the world stage?
When Reagan was elected, he was considered the most conservative president up to that time. I would say that Trump, and I would add that Reagan's platform was moderated somewhat by people who came in the White House to work for him, and including his own wife. I think you see with Trump, he has a conservative platform that he is in control of, and no one is going to deter him from pursuing the ideals of his conservative platform.
President Reagan was a big supporter of Israel. Do you think, though, that President Trump has overtaken President Reagan in terms of support of Israel? Is it fair to say that President Trump has been the most supportive president of the United States towards Israel?
Oh, unquestionably. Unquestionably. So Reagan was a big supporter of Israel, of course, but this was a different time. This was a time in which we were really dependent upon much more diplomatic negotiation and military buildup. But you have a time now where Iran's capacity has threatened throughout the Middle East the security of Israel. And Trump has taken decisive steps to contain that.
So in your book, True Reagan, which, by the way, you can get on Amazon.com, you have a whole chapter devoted to Ronald Reagan, the salesman. Obviously, everyone knows that Donald Trump is a salesman. So how does those two relate in this matter? And what are they selling?
They're selling confidence in America. And this was the most important thing that Reagan could do, is to convince people that the principles of the American form of government were the last best hope of mankind on earth. And you know why he could do that? Is because he believed it. Trump believes it as well. And that is the most fundamental key to effective communication. Do you believe what you're selling? If you're going out to sell a product or a service, do you believe that people really need to have this? So both of these gentlemen, both of these leaders, believe that the American way is exceptional, not because the American people are better than the French people or the Israeli people or Cameroon people. It is because it's our form of government is superior. And remember one thing, that Reagan believed that if the light of American exceptionalism grew dim, the rest of the world would fall into chaos.
Is this part of your program at ImpactSpeakerCoach.com?
Well, this is the critical element of once you get rid of fear, then you have to be confident of your message and you have to feel it in your heart.
Okay, it was fascinating to speak with you. And I would like to thank Yitzhak for inviting me to speak with you. Yitzhak is going to come back right after this break and wrap it up for us. Thank you very much, Mr. Rosebush, for your time.
Thank you, Isaac.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
So recently, a healthy couple in their mid-50s came into Alitra Health for their longevity exam. They were not expecting particularly to find anything wrong on the assessment, but the exam showed otherwise.
Dr. Avi Nemitz is medical director at Alitra Health's Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity.
So they go through a very complete evaluation, blood work, scanning of the coronary arteries, stress tests, evaluation by nutritionists and exercise physiologists. We sit down at the end of the day, and his whole world changed in that moment.
Alitra Health provides a full, in-depth, comprehensive longevity exam to detect problems before they occur.
Without an intervention, he was going to have an active cardiac problem. So I told him, look, you're going to be fine. He left with a lot of confidence, knowing exactly what he was supposed to do. We understood what he had, and now he's going to be able to deal with it.
Why spend time worrying when Alitra Health in Manhattan can provide you with a complete snapshot of your health today? Visit AlitraHealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A Health.com. Alitra Center for Life and Longevity. Because nothing matters if you don't have your health.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, the Mind Your Business show. Special thank you to Isaac Waukschal, chief correspondent of Zman Magazine, for sitting in for this fascinating part of tonight's show. In case you're just tuning in now, no worries. Visit MYB Radio by Tuesday morning, and this entire episode will be up. You could listen to it in your favorite way. You're an iTunes guy. You're player.fm, whichever way you like it. It will all be there by Tuesday morning, again, at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. James, it's a real honor to have you in studio. I'm just going to wrap up with a couple of questions, if I may.
Sure.
Okay. A tremendous star at the UN in this administration was, of course, Nikki Haley. Later this month, she's stepping down. What's your take, you know, on her communication skills and her future?
I don't know why Nikki Haley is standing down, truthfully, but I can tell you that she's going to become president of the United States. It is
It
is absolutely going to happen. So she has every box is obviously checked off with her, a minority, a woman. Right. She just her culture, her background.
Right.
But I'll tell you what I like about Nikki Haley. Her communication is honest and direct, and she says exactly what's in her heart. And in a way, she conveys it with such authenticity, which is one of the most important attributes of good communication, is authenticity. You know, you know why? An audience can detect a fake in a minute or less than a minute, and then you're discredited and you can't go any further. Nikki Haley has authenticity. She's got strength. She's got brains, and she's going to become president.
Wow. You heard it here first. That's amazing. You know, could you perhaps you want to share any other predictions? You know, James, you've been around the block, and I thought you've seen it all. But
that's for another show. I'll come back.
Well, you're invited back anytime.
Thank you.
Before I go to my last question, also, we touched on it earlier during the segment with Isaac, impactspeakercoach.com. That's how they could find out more about you. But perhaps, again, you could share What exactly is that all about? How does it benefit CEOs and aspiring leaders out there?
Well, let me put it this way. If you have a message and you've got content, maybe you're trying to sell a product, maybe you're trying to engender confidence in the equity value of your company, maybe you're giving a speech that's more related to public policy. If you don't have content, you don't have your audience. Likewise, if you don't have the ability to communicate content, you're lost. Both have to go together. Think of all the people that you've seen, business leaders, right, come before the Congress. And, you know, when they get in front of the bright lights, right, even though they have a prepared statement, they don't have the credibility that we just talked about with Nikki Haley. Mm-hmm. The authenticity, the honesty, and a degree of vulnerability, I think, really helps with that, too.
Hmm. So again, they can contact impactspeakercoach.com, and that's how they can get in touch with you and find out more about your services.
Sign up with me. Don't go on the road without me.
And of course, by the way, you can pick up a copy of True Reagan. I believe it's still in Barnes & Noble. I mean, it's at...
You can get it anywhere the books are sold.
Amazing. Well, it leads me to my last question. You know, someone of your stature, a senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan, chief of staff to Nancy Reagan... What final takeaways could you share, and takeaways you could share multiple, with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Well, you know, I'm going to leave with this, and that it relates to communication as well. So if you go back and you review any of Reagan's speeches, the greatest speeches, and they were all great, but the wall at the Brandenburg Gate, Mr. Gorbachev teared down this wall, which is the way he said it. But here's another take on it. If you look at Reagan's speeches, he does three things. He asks the audience a question. What do you think? What should we be doing? Then he makes a statement of inspiration, and then he never leaves his audience without asking them to do something. Hmm. And two of the most, I think, impressive orations that Reagan gave. One goes way back to 1964 in the Rendezvous with Destiny speech, as it's called, when he introduces Barry Goldwater. And he says, most important to today, he says, it's not the left or the right. It's the up or the down. It's up to the principles of democracy and freedom that we preserve for our children, or it's down to the ash heap of history. Right. Then he never liked to leave his audience, rarely, without referring to the American patriot Thomas Paine, who said, "We here have it within ourselves to begin the world over again." We have it within ourselves to begin the world over again. This is what America gives us. And Reagan infused his audience with a belief that they had the ability to begin the world over again according to American principles. This was the inspiration, that unction that gave him impact, that gave him heft, that gave him authenticity, that gave him credibility. This is what all people are seeking when they make speeches or they make a sales call on the telephone. That's what Impact Speaker Coach is all about.
James, I can't thank you enough for joining me here on Mind Your Business. So special.
I'm honored to be here.
So special. Well, also a special shout-out and a thank you to my friend Bill O'Reilly for the November team. He's the one that reached out to me a while back, and he heard James present at a lecture, a large gathering, and he says, Yitzhak, you have to get James Rosebush on your show. And sure enough, we made it happen. Well, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. And again, it will be, this entire episode will be up. It will be a video episode as well on YouTube. But the easiest way to access it is to go to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group, marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500, or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting WebsiteWithBrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis,